Our scripture reading this morning is Romans 8, 26 to 39. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in according that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom God predestined, he also called, and those who he called, he also justified. And those whom God justified, God also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not withhold his Son, but gave him up for us, will he not also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed interceded for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths, nor anything in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I first read this passage and started on this sermon, I decided to look at the other suggested passages in the lectionary. For those who don't know, the lectionary is a resource ministers have of suggested texts for the church each week. When I looked at the lectionary, I noticed that many of the texts were speaking of hope and building a future. The psalm for this week echoed what the scripture reading that I just read pointed to. I'll read a part of the psalm and see if you can hear any similarities to what I just read. The psalm is 105, verses 1 through 11 and 45b. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, God's miracles, and the judgment God has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, she is the Lord our God, her judgments in all the earth. God is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that God commanded for thousands of generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for inheritance. Praise the Lord. This is a message of hope. I don't know about you, but in the times we're living in, with everything we're hearing, a message of hope is hard to hear. This year has been hard, but there is hope. Hope is what you have when everything else is falling apart. It's what you have left. If you listen to people talking, you'll hear that people still have hope. Families are still planning events, even if they're over Zoom. Churches are still talking about their hopes for when they can return. There's even a story I heard where a village prayed and prayed and prayed for rain. They went out into a field and prayed. But a little child, having hope, brought an umbrella. There is still hope. But how? This year has been hard. One of my favorite things about writing and preaching a sermon is the crafting process that goes into it. I call it crafting because it is exactly that. Every time for me, I sit down and start at this art form, I put on some type of music because the music helps me focus. This week, it was my instrumental playlist. For some reason, that's just what I was feeling. There was a little bit of Disney in there too. However, as is what typically happens for me, there was a song that was just bothering me and playing in the back of my head all week that applies in some way that I don't know yet or don't fully understand. This week, the song is the old, well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." For those that don't know the lyrics so well, let me read a few lines. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. This song, while not necessarily the first song that comes to mind with this passage, is still a reminder that God is with us no matter what. Through all the suffering, through all the times that we can just utter, life is hard. The writer of this song, Horatio Spafford, knew a little bit of something about suffering. Born in the middle 1800s, Horatio was a very successful lawyer. He was even a Presbyterian. However, in the Chicago Fire of 1871, he lost his entire law firm, and shortly before the fire, he lost his son. By 1873, he decided that his family needed a vacation. It's a valid conclusion given all the loss. They decided to take a trip to England. His wife and four daughters boarded and left on the ship for England before Horatio did, because he was held up by business in November of that year. However, before his family could be rejoined and he could join his family in England, tragedy struck again. On November 22nd, while on board the ship, his four daughters drowned at sea. The ship had struck another ship. Surviving the shipwreck, his wife made it to England and sent him a telegram saying simply this: saved alone. Horatio, heartbroken and sad, immediately took the next ship to England. While on the water on the way over, the captain of the ship called Horatio out of his quarters when the ship he was on was over the spot where Horatio's daughters died. It is there that Horatio composed the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Let that sink in for a minute. Standing over the exact spot where his four daughters had died, he composed "It Is Well With Our Soul." To have endured such suffering and yet still believe and still have faith is a testament to Horatio's faith and the amazing grace and love that is our God. Life is hard. This year has been so hard. How do we hold on to hope with everything that has happened? People have lost family members. Weddings have been canceled. Funerals have been postponed. It is like the world is asking us to hold our breath while we wait and see what is next. I've even heard some people talk about a 2020 bingo card. Who has dinosaurs in November? And yet, there is hope. Our psalmist says, "Sing praises to God and seek the wonderful works that God has done." But how do we get from a place of grief, loss, sadness, anticipation, to hope? How do we come back singing God's praises while a pandemic still rages and we don't know what is next? Times are uncertain. Schools may or may not be opening. Churches may or may not be opening. There is a way. We start walking back from grief into a world of hope by acknowledging our faith. We have faith in a wonderful, caring, and gracious God. A God that will live with us and love us and hold us in all of this. Yet how often do we live like we have hope in that God? That God will be there for us to take care of us no matter what. In the end of the Romans passage, Paul writes that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Life is hard. It's harder to live our faith in a world where you constantly hear on the news what is wrong with the world. You constantly see on Facebook so many cries for help. We see or read about our African-American brothers and sisters rioting to be heard. We see people dying from an uncontrolled pandemic. Neighbors we know are hungry and have lost their jobs. Crimes happen against people we love. It can be hard to have hope and hold on to it in the face of today's world. I understand. Life is hard. Martin Luther King said it well, though. Martin Luther King Jr. "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." We must live into our faith by showing a joyous hope. One of my pastoral friends reminded me, faith is the anchor you hold on to when you are still hoping. That is powerful. Faith is the anchor you hold on to when you are still hoping. So life is hard. How will you hold on to that precious and dear faith and live that hope, live that faith into hope? We could do as the psalmist suggests. Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known his deeds amongst all the peoples. Sing to God. Tell all of his wondrous works. Remember the works he has done. We could pray as the passage in Romans states, even with sighs that are too deep for words. We can talk about God's awesomeness. We can call each other and lift each other up. In fact, I urge you to please find your directory and call your neighbor. Ask them how you can help. You can sing. You can even sing over the phone to another friend. You can sing at home. You can sing in the shower. You can go outside. And even though it is hot, it is a Florida summer. I get it. It's hot. You can enjoy some of the nature. Smell the rain. You can pray. There's so many ways to pray. You can pray through coloring. You can pray in the car. You can pray for the hospital workers and the grocery workers. You can pray before you leave your house. Life is hard. I will say that as someone that understands that life is hard. And yet we have to hold on to hope. We have this wonderful, amazing God that loves us and wants you to hope again. We will see each other face to face again. And until then, you have to hold on to hope. Smile. Hug your family members. Live into hope. Thanks be to God.